Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazandPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Well, considered to be the foremost leading authority on the Illuminati, our guest, Doc Marquis, will be speaking about the inner workings of the Illuminati and their plans for the New World Order. Certainly a hot topic. Well, you now are listening to the International Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula.
And I'm Taz. Excuse me, just a minute. Didn't realize I still had a frog. Back to Doc Marquis. He's our guest today, and he was raised as a child in the international occult group known as the Illuminati, and for 20 years he was trained as an Illuminist and attained the rank of a Master Witch, a third-level Illuminist. As a result of God's sovereignty and mercy, Doc became surrounded by Christians who presented him with the gospel, and confronted by God's word and love, he opened his heart and mind. And on April 15, 1979, Doc became a born-again Christian, forever severing his ties with the Illuminati.
Well, he's a leading author of no less than 5 books, including Secrets of the Illuminati. Doc has appeared on and consulted for Fox 2020, Oprah Winfrey, Unsolved Mysteries, Geraldo Rivera, Hardy Copy, Inside Edition, Thinking Out Loud, We the People, and dozens more. He has also appeared on the international television programs in England, Italy, Japan, Jerusalem. He devotes his life to traveling across the country and using public forums and more to expose and educate the public on the occult, the Illuminati, and their plans for the New World Order. He trains therapists, clinicians, psychiatrists, psychologists, local and state police, former present-day members of the FBI in programming, brainwashing, solving occult crimes, and the 8 major occult groups found in America. Today, Doc will give us a peek into the Illuminati's past, present, and future. Doc Marquis, you certainly have a job on your hands for sure, and we thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, ladies. It's so glad to be here with you and your listening audience.
Well, do you want to start from the beginning on how you were in the Illuminati and how you eventually got out?
All right. Well, contrary to popular belief, most people think that everyone in America is born into some sort of Christian family, and we both know that's not true. In my case, I was born into a family that practiced Luciferian witchcraft, or who people would identify as the Illuminati. Now, when I was 3, I was dedicated to the cause of the Illuminati, and by that I mean literally that they brought me to a dedication ceremony in which I was offered up and all that I would do in this life to the cause of Lucifer. Now, this really isn't unusual, because if we look at a number of Christian churches, they're bringing their kids to their various churches, to synagogues, what have you, and dedicating their children to God. In the Illuminati, they're dedicating their children to Lucifer. And I mean Lucifer, not Satan. Illuminati members do not believe in Satan. They believe that was simply a Christian boogeyman that was created to keep all the, you know, kids in line. You know how when your parents would say, if you don't behave, you're going to go to such and such place? That's how they view it. Now, after my dedication ceremony, for the next 10 years of my life, I was put into what's known as the outer court. Now, this is best understood as the Illuminati's version of a seminary. This is where it taught all the rites, the rituals, the 8 nights of human sacrifice, how to practice human sacrifice, astrology, and what have you, all of it. So by the time I was 13, at my initiation ceremony, what they did, they first brought out a book that was made out of lamb's hide, which in the occult world is known as the Book of the Dead, in the Illuminati, I should say. Next thing they did, they brought out a quilt feather, then they brought out a silver knife, which is called Athame, and they sliced my arm wide open. I had to take that quilt feather, dip it in my own blood, and sign my new occult name in that book. Once I had completed all that, I was initiated as a first-level Illuminist. And
how old were you then?
Oh, I was 13.
13.
Yes. So for the next 4 years of my life, I went through the ranks as most Illuminists, except because I was from one of the oldest bloodlines in the Illuminati, I was slotted eventually for what's known as the Council of 13. Let's see, I'm 17 now. Okay. At that point, the Illuminati was setting up a three-pronged, if you would, attack against the United States forces. You see, they wanted to infiltrate every single military base and get control of all the information and certain high-ranking officials in it. And I was part of that plan. And unfortunately, we were too good at what we did, because by the time 1978 had rolled about, our plans were completed. We had done exactly what we wanted to do, and I left the military shortly thereafter.
Did you feel at any time that, when you were 13, for instance, did you feel when you were being initiated at that time, did you feel like, boy, I'm not sure I really want to do this?
No, as a matter of fact, I had been looking forward to doing that once I was put into the outer court. You see, all this, and this is going to sound a little bit on the bizarre side, but it is true. All this is based on perspective. What you would call good, the Illuminati would call evil, and what you would call evil, they would call good. It just depends on your outlook.
Now, were you allowed to go to normal schools when you were a child?
Well, as a matter of fact, that's what you were expected to do. Unless you're, in one of the really, shall we say, wealthiest families, such as, let's say, those other families that are involved, let's say like the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Kennedys, the Astors, the DuPonts, so on and so forth, they, of course, you know, would put their kids through private school. A lot of them have private tutors. However, the vast majority of people in the Illuminati, they go to regular high school, and they are expected to, because no one is supposed to see you as someone other than who everyone else is. That's part of the deception. Just like this deception has grown, obviously, to such proportions that I'd say up until maybe the mid-50s, maybe early 60s, everyone thought that our government was honest and upright. And we know, of course, now that there was a shadow government, the Illuminati, who's actually pulling the strings from behind the curtains.
Now, when you went into the service, you actually were a medic. That's how you got your nickname, Doc, right?
Yes. I went in. When all of us went in as a collective whole, there were thousands of us that had been sent in. What we were supposed to do was to check our astrological chart according to our zodiac sign, whichever one we were born under, and see which one best suited us, which profession. And as I recall off the top of my head, mine were in the sciences, in teaching, and in the medical field. So I, after basic training, I went to the American Academy of Health Sciences at Fort Sam Houston, in Texas, and I graduated as a licensed senior medical specialist. Back then, that was known as the top of the food chain.
And at what point did you decide to get out of the Illuminati? What age or... What sent you that way?
That would have been at Fort Lewis, Washington. That would have been back in, I'd say around the summer of, 76. I was headed to the PX. Basically, I just needed to get some supplies in. A colleague of mine, someone else in the medical field, just happened to have met me on the way, and we just struck up a conversation. Then minutes later, after he was about to leave, he asked me what I thought was one of the silliest questions at that point. Now, remember, I was a Luciferian witch. He asked me if I wanted to go to a Christian church with him on Sunday. Well, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said back then, but let's just say the answer was no. And what happened for the next 3 years of my life, no matter where I went and no matter how far I went, there always seemed to be some born-again Christian in the wings just waiting to witness to me. Now, to make a very long story short, at the end of those 3 years, I finally saw what I was doing in light of what the Christians were saying all along. So it was on April 15th, 1979, I went into a Christian church, and I admit it, I was a sold-out slave of Satan's. But God be praised, on that day I left as a born-again child of the King. And for the last 32 years, I have been exposing and proving the activities of the Illuminati and their plans towards what we call the New World Order.
Have they tried to stop you in any way, Doc?
Oh, my goodness, hon, let me tell you, I've lost count at how many different death attempts they've been. I mean, they've shot at me, they've tried to stab me, they've tried to run me over, they've tried to poison me, for goodness sakes. And by God's grace, I am still here.
Do you think that's just a way of scaring you and telling you to knock it off, or...
They're trying to do away with me. No, that's not a scare tactic. That's a we're going to kill you tactic and shut you up once and for all. But God, in his infinite wisdom, is still willing to put up with me for some reason.
So right now you are actually writing books, touring across the world, actually, exposing all this.
Oh, yes. It's four or five books I have published. We have started we have started a 12-part DVD series. It's called Secrets of the Illuminati, about what's really going on in their organization, what they've done, what they've started, everything towards the New World Order. Now, the first six have already been done. If anyone wants to look at them, all they have to do is go to creationmessage.com, and they'll see some of the things we've already done. Now, creationmessage.com, this is a new website. We're still putting up all the bells and whistles and everything else that goes with it, because there is going to be more information than more people will be able to handle. And this series, it is going to have 12 DVDs and a complete set. Right now, we're working on putting the finishing editing touches on DVDs 7 and 8. That one is called Illuminati 2012 and Beyond. It's a two-part set. There was just so much information, I could not keep it down to a regular two-part DVD set. So what I did, we created DVD 7, which is part 1, and then DVD 8, which is part 2. And I believe the whole of the information came out to be something like 9 hours long.
Wow. Now, do you think the Illuminati is slow on schedule? Are we, the people, as the truth comes out, does that slow their process?
Well, if nothing else, right now, they're perfectly on schedule. You see, the Illuminati, among other things, the second head of the Order of the Illuminati, which would have been Giuseppe Mangini back in the 1800s, and General Albert Pike, who was the head of the Southern jurisdiction of all of Masonry, were consistently writing letters back and forth on how they were going to perpetuate their seven-part plans towards the creation of a new world order in America. One of the things that they came up with was to create three world wars. Now, if we look at the letters, we find out that the very first two world wars happened exactly as their plans dictated. The third world war, called for the Islamic nations to rise up against the Judaic ones and create a war of such magnitude that it would force everyone else in the world to get involved because of various treaties. And right now, that's exactly what we see coming about.
So even the Chinese would be involved?
Yes. Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, what I'm afraid of is that we may eventually see a China, Russia, and Pakistan coalition. And if that happens, oh, yes, something is bound to happen. There'll be no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
But we owe China so much money. I mean, couldn't they just put us down economically other than a war?
Well, believe it or not, that's a moot point, because by the time 2016 comes about, China is going to be the number one financial giant in the world. It will no longer be us. I mean, unless something drastically happens, and I mean it has to be outrageously drastic, there's no doubt about it, they will become the financial leaders in 2016. Right now, they're telling us we're $14 trillion in debt. That's just on the federal level. That's not including $7 trillion that's owed to the people in America. That figure is actually more in the neighborhood of $21 to $22 trillion. And the interest rate alone in any given day is over $1 billion.
We dug a hole that we can't get out of, I think.
Exactly. You know, the only way this could actually be resolved is, first of all, if they put us back on the gold standard, which they illegally took us off of because our money has to be based on something. Next, they have to get rid of the Federal Reserve System, which is an illegal entity according to the Constitution because it's a privately owned corporation, 12 separate banks, and mind you, if you check the name of every single family that's been in control of those banks, you can tie each and every single one of them back to the Illuminati. You have to get rid of that, and among other things, America for at least 20 years would have to become isolationist in order to pay up all their debts. But I guarantee you, were they to do that, America could actually get itself out of the hole. But the big problem is right now, the way we're spiraling, we're going to end up in a state of hyperinflation that was worse than Nazi Germany at the end of World War II. At that time, it cost more than 1 million Deutschmarks just to buy one loaf of bread.
Jack, what about debt forgiveness?
What about it?
This is on paper anyhow.
Yeah, and we know paper is worthless.
Right, so I mean,
no,
why not?
What they're trying to do, and if, unless something, as it says, drastic comes about, they're going to put us on the old debit system. You're not going to have any type of hard currency. What you're going to have is a debit system in which they will use, more than likely, the bioelectrical implant chip, which can hold up to 1,400 pages of information on any person, in which by satellite can detect where you are at any given moment within 6 inches of the ground, and they're going to send you debit points. In other words, instead of getting paid, you know, through a check or whatever, you're going to be getting computer debit points on this bioelectrical chip, or what will first I'm convinced, will be sent out as some type of smart card, if you would, or credit card. And now that I think of it, you know, I believe it's next year, all Social Security checks that are going to be sent to senior citizens are going to be put on these new smart cards.
Well, talking about that, the older people will be useless to them, won't they? I mean, seniors?
Why do you think at the end, you know, they're going to be among, you know, the first people to be exterminated? In Nazi Germany, they got rid of the old and the infirmed first. See, America, you see, the funny thing about history, it does repeat itself unless we actually learn the lessons.
So the lesson is?
Not to go this route. The way everything is going right now, for goodness sakes, we look at the way Obama has been running the country. I can point out at least 50 different spots that are very reminiscent of Nazi Germany. I don't know who, you know, well, it's not Obama that's really running the country anyways. It's
Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
You know, because Obama, first of all, is just a puppet. And not a very good one at that. Not even a very good one at that. And as far as I see it, he's nothing but a usurper. He's not the president. I've looked at that, and remember, I was in the medical field. I know the difference between a long and a short form when it comes to birth certificates. I've seen both. And when I looked at the long form, anyone who knows how to use a PowerPoint on, you know, the computer can easily figure out that that long form is just a composite. You see shadows on that birth certificate that aren't there normally. They are never there. But that shadow tells you someone made up a composite. In other words, put one piece of information on top of another, on another, and another. And I've got a friend who has actually broken it down and can prove that it is made, it's a composition of 50 different pieces of information that's been inserted that had never originally been there to begin with.
Well, why didn't they make this up a long time ago when it first started coming out that he wasn't a citizen? I mean, it took forever to create this.
Well, because it's a distraction. You see, with the Illuminati, they always keep you distracted on something that is so mundane, it's ridiculous when you look at it at the end. But by keeping people distracted, no one looks at what is really going on, the important things. And right now, one important thing that people aren't looking at, it would be the revisal of the Patriot Act. There's already Patriot Act 2 that most people don't know about. There's also what's known as Senate Bill 510, which, this is horrifying to me, Senate Bill 510 makes it illegal for anyone to grow food on their property. You cannot grow your own garden or anything. And they've already made an example of this one man who had, it wasn't what I'd call much of a farm. It was, you know, I'd say maybe 100 or so acres of whatever he was growing. But, and, oh, mind you, that farm had been there for generations, but they decided to go after this poor old man who was 88 years old to make an example of him. Now, one problem did come up. They did find a couple of loopholes in S, you can, and you can look this up on the computer. Just put in S510. That's S510, S510. And what they're doing now, that bill has been temporarily recalled so they can close up those loopholes legally. And then when it's time, they will enforce it with a vengeance.
I know. It's happening right in front of our eyes. I mean, I've heard these things 20 years ago, and 20 years ago I thought, yeah, right. But now I see it just coming through.
Of course, no one would have thought this type of fascist control would come here into America. But it is happening. And unless the people stand up before it's too late and say no, then they're going to end up with what they deserve because the people did not stand up.
Well, we can't do it through voting because if you're, you don't
no,
even know who you're
voting
for.
You're absolutely right. It's believed that within a democracy, and mind you, we're supposed to be a republic, it's believed within a democracy that the majority rules. But that's not the case here in America, because they established what's known as the Electoral College. And I can prove how a number of presidents never received the majority of the public's vote, yet they were put in through the Electoral College. That's the sneaky way that they do it. Most people aren't paying attention to the figures here. But quite, I think it was George H. Bush that, according to all the figures I've got here, as far as the total votes go, he did not receive the majority vote, yet they were able to put him into the Electoral College. That's how they do it behind everyone's back.
Now, at the in the last election, was Hillary at the beginning supposed to win? And there was a change in plans?
No, I told everyone from day one that they would not put in Hillary. First of all, one of the main reasons is, in the order of the Illuminati, it is still, for the most part, a good old boys club, if you want to look at it like that. They will never allow a female to take up that type of global position, not from America. It would never happen. I also said, and I'm on record on many radio shows for saying this, that they will accept a black man before they will accept a female in the Oval Office.
Well, that's
America is
voting.
Just not America's mindset is just not ready for something like that. Now, in England, we were ready. You know, we had Margaret Thatcher. You know, and I thought that lady was an absolute hoot. But no, here in America, Americans just aren't ready for something like that. And the Illuminati would never tolerate it anyways.
Well, even when it came time to give the vote, the black males were able to vote before the females were.
Well, yes. You know, we have to remember, and I hate to say this because it's horrible, but at one time, women weren't even considered legal entities. And that's terrible. But that's just the way it was until, you know, we were finally able to get some sort of equal voting across the board.
Well, how can we, I mean, what's the solution? How can we stand up to our government?
Okay, the easiest way, and this really is the easiest and the most effective way, what the solution is really in education. You see, I did, back in 1983, a survey for my university. And what we were looking for was, you know, on an educational basis, who held the educational runs, you know, the top areas. Found out that America held the second, third, fourth, and fifth place, globally speaking, in education. The only person that outdid us at that point, the only nation would have been China. Now, 10 years later, I revisited the same survey, found out America had dropped down to 14th place, and now, globally speaking, we're down to 40th. We have been purposely dumbed down, and the proof lies in. Look at the graduating seniors from high schools. Half of them can't read their own diplomas. And half of most Americans right now can't even read a bedtime story to their own children. The attack,
scary.
Yes, the attack on the education of America is astounding. I mean, remember that that program they put in, what was it called? No One Left Behind in the education system. In other words, we're going to make sure that everyone graduates, right? And that, you know, it's going to be done because they have passing grades. You know what the truth behind that one was? A passing grade, if you remember my day and age, was 70 and above. What they did to make sure people were receiving passing grades, they dropped it below 60. This way, no one was left behind because an F was now considered passing. which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. But this is what they've been up to, and that's what they've been doing. Check that program out for yourself. You'll find out the facts.
Well, I just got through seeing a special on television about high schools in Michigan, and it was, I mean, the federal government came in and investigated, found that they were using the money for other than education. They had all this money, and the only thing that they were doing were babysitting the students, actually. And
that's
the federal government, the federal government couldn't do anything about it. And I was just aghast.
Yeah.
They came in and they said, you guys are not keeping records on the money that you're getting. Some of the money's going offshore. Some of the money's going in some people's pockets.
Yes,
and nothing happened.
Absolutely horrifying. What is happening in America? You know, and the federal government says, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. Excuse me. Yes, you can. You're the ones who gave the money to begin with. You can slam those purse strings if they're not following the requirements as dictated by law.
Exactly. And the fellow they put in charge to investigate acted like a politician. He went to door to the families and said, you know, be behind me. But it didn't work.
No, I mean, because the thing is, what you need to do is inspect the roots. You don't go to the leaves, you go to the roots. And in this case, those roots was at the school systems themselves. This is where you have to make the attack. This is where you have to make accountability. And if necessary, this is where people will be thrown behind bars for their illegal activities.
I think at the end it said that there were 3 people prosecuted, yet there was hundreds that did things illegally.
Yeah, 3 people. And, you know, they really think that by putting 3 people behind bars, just 3 of all those culprits, that the problem has suddenly been solved and it's going to go away?
Yeah. Doc, how does someone really inspect the roots? I mean, like, lots of things are covered up. Is there any kind of insight that you can give people that are listening? How do we really go about?
Well, as I said, the first thing you have to do is educate yourself to whatever you're trying to look at. If it's, let's just say, let's just go back to what we said about the Federal Reserve System, okay? According to the Constitution, and you have to read the Constitution to begin with to see if you have a legal ground, the Constitution says that taxes are supposed to be a voluntary act. It's not demanded or legal. Second, by digging a little deeper, we find, you know, that the Federal Reserve System, which is made up of 12 separate banks, is illegal according to the Constitution because the Constitution says only Congress has the authority to coin money. Only Congress. And yet, that's gone over to the Federal Reserve System. And mind you, they put the word federal in their title to make it look as if it was legal, as if it was part of our government. The next thing you have to know when you dig further, and again, it requires some digging. You have to educate yourself into this. But you have to, and eventually what you will find out is that the IRS, which is supposed to be part of a Federal Reserve System, is illegal. They do not have federal standing or recognition. Yet how can they collect taxes from the citizens if they're illegal? And the next thing you'll find out is that their representatives are saying that they are collecting money for the Treasury. Now, this is where you have to really pay attention. They say Treasury. They do not say the United States Treasury, because the Treasury they're collecting money for is actually in Bermuda. And again, you just have to do some digging, some homework here. But if you stick with it, you're going to find out. One thing will lead to another, to another, to another. And one of the other things they do, if they will try to scare you with illegal tactics, saying, well, we're going to take everything you own and throw you out in the streets. Well, legally they can't, because they have to produce a form. I believe it's the S-28 form, in which they're supposed to list by law how much and why you owe them X amount of money in taxes. But they'll never do that because they're not legal to begin with. And if anyone really digs deep enough, you're going to find out that form S-28 never really did exist to begin with. So, you see, it requires each and every single one of us to do a little bit of homework and to educate ourselves into whatever we're looking for. But you can do it, but you just have to stick with it. And once people become educated, you have to start networking. Networking in a way that you gather enough people to where they're going to say, we've had it, and that they can, through various systems, get these people out of office and put in those people who's going to really represent the people. Because, you see, in the system we have now, the government is telling the people what to do. Excuse me, it's the people that are supposed to be telling the government what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, you know, I've asked people if they knew what the Federal Reserve was. And I'd say 80% of the people that I ask are not aware that the Federal Reserve is a private business. And so that, I mean, that's 80% of the people that I know. So I would say maybe 90% of the people in the United States don't realize what the Federal Reserve is.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So, I mean, that's where we can start. We can start educating our friends.
Well, yes, that's what we need to start doing. Everyone needs to be educated into these things. And just as you were saying, this is one of the main reasons why we started this new DVD series. As I said, it's called Secrets of the Illuminati, and anyone can find this on creationmessage.com, where we're telling people, we're teaching them, and I was a high school teacher at one point, back in the mid-80s. No, that was the early 80s. I was becoming a high school teacher. I graduated from Louisiana Baptist College in Shreveport, Louisiana, back in 84. And through an educational process, I'm taking people, basically, I started them after 101, and I'm going to take them all the way up and through 808, if you would, and show them absolutely everything that's going on. And this way, once they can see, generally see and understand what is going on, then they know what they want to do and how to go about it. But as I said, we've got 8 of the DVDs already finished. 6 of them are available right now. The next 2 will be out in the next 4 to 6 weeks at the most, something like that. No later than the end of July, according to what my director has told me. And then, you know, we're just going to keep going. But the people of America have to be educated so we can wake them up to the reality of what's going on before it is too late.
So if the Federal Reserve System is a private business, and we need to ask ourselves, what would we do with other private businesses that weren't for the upliftment of humanity?
What do you do about them?
Yeah.
Okay, if they're in a position where they are affecting our lives in an illegal fashion, again, educate yourself into what's going on with them, and I mean the whole truth of it. This way you can legally stop them. See, I'm not one of those people who believes that we're all going to grab our guns, run to the hills, grab all our food supplies, and get into a shootout war with the government. It's not going to happen, because the thing is, the government, I have news for everyone, have all the biggest toys you can imagine. And but those people who think they're going to get into a shootout with the government and win, they're wrong, because all they have to do is just drop a couple of Scud missiles or whatever on that encampment or wherever they're at. And as far as the government is concerned, the problem has been solved.
And I hear that they already have camps created to put us in if we misbehave.
Oh, hon, let me tell you. When I was in the Illuminati, I remember the very first camp that they were building. It was in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Now, back in the summer, it was the summer of 76, I went to this place. I was purposely brought to that place. At that time, they could easily exterminate 3,000 people in any given day. I guarantee you right now, I know of one other person who's been there, and they were there, I think it was about 7 years ago. That person has passed away, you know, ill, bad health and things like that. That facility has been extended to where they can easily exterminate 10,000 people a day. And all this, you know, we can, if we're going to own up to the fact, it's all done by the Illuminati. But the person they use to perpetuate this plan was Bill Clinton. Because it was Bill Clinton who, it was under his presidency, that a particular questionnaire, it's known as the 29-POM questionnaire. I'm not sure if you can find it online, but I would tell everyone to try to look up 29-POM questionnaire. Now, this is a question, a series of questions that was given to Navy personnel. It was 46 questions in length. And trust me, with my medical background and sociological degrees, I know what a psychological profiling looks like, and that's exactly what this questionnaire was all about. They were looking for one particular thing, and in the 46th question, they asked a question, and I'm paraphrasing right now, that the U.S. government, and this is just supposedly a fictitious question, the U.S. government has imposed a ban on certain weapons and that everyone has been given a 30-day amnesty to turn in these weapons. However, at the end, certain groups, and they said groups, refused to turn in their weapons. Now, the question is, would you as a U.S. soldier open fire on a U.S. citizen? Fortunately, the vast majority of those who took that questionnaire said no. And this led to a chain of events. Once Billy Boy found out the majority said no, what happened immediately, and follow this, everyone, you should be able to remember this, suddenly more than half of our standing troops were sent overseas, the largest employment of our troops overseas in history. Half of our bases were demilitarized. Then what they did, they brought in NATO forces, UN forces, other troops from other countries, and they started training them under our tactics, using our military tactics, so that in the event when they will eventually declare martial law, it's not going to be our troops that's going to try to stop us. It's going to be other forces such as NATO, UN, that's going to open fire on United States citizens. Why? Because they're not from America. They're not going to have any problem shooting Americans. And as a result of all this, and I've got the photos, and I've got documentations, I've got British contracts in my possession and everything, on all those bases that have been transformed into what the signs definitely call, and the signs will say it, POW camps. Now think about this for a second. Why would you build a POW camp if you're not at war? Unless you're planning to start one. And for those who think this can't happen here in America, you better turn your history book back to World War II, because they took Japanese American citizens, and I mean people who are U.S. citizens of Japanese descent, and put them in those same internment camps, as they were called back then. It happened then. Trust me, as I stated before, history is about to repeat itself because we have learned nothing.
I know, we took away all their farms, and it was awful.
It was illegal. Yet, notice when the problem became inconvenient for the federal government, they threw out the law and did what they did anyways. And if people don't think that doesn't happen, you better take a good look once again into history, because all those treaties, now a treaty is the highest law subject to Congress in any form or fashion. Our treaty is the highest law of the land, and yet we broke every single treaty we ever had with Native American Indians. So trust me, the federal government has no problem, has absolutely no problem breaking the law when something inconvenient happens.
Now, I'm a little bit confused on how the Illuminati and the Masons, are they one of the same?
Okay, let me explain
that.
No, they're still two separate entities. But, you see, it was back in July 16, 1785, that the 23 Supreme Masonic Councils of the World sent representatives to meet with Dr. Adam Weishaupt, who was the very first head of the Order of the Illuminati, and they met with him for 30 different sessions. At the end, they signed a blood contract vowing to follow the seven-part plans of the Illuminati towards what they call the Novus Ordo Seclorum, or the New World Order. The Masons, their temples are everywhere, and this is what Weishaupt was grabbing for. He had a very easy out in those temples. Their own people are in those temples, but the problem is most Masons have no clue what's going on within their own temples. I can tell you right now, 95% of all Masons haven't got a clue as to what's going on within their own Masonic temples yet. The top 5%, the upper echelon, they do. And it was in DVD 4 of this series I've been speaking of. It's called Magic, Mysticism, and Masonry. I categorically proved, and I mean anyone who has seen this DVD have stated, all the proof is there. We can prove, and I have proven, that the Masonic temples are nothing but another front for the organization of the Illuminati, and their own writers, the Masons, will attestify to this. And I'm not just talking about Albert Pike or some of the other biggies that people will refer to. In this particular DVD, I literally used hundreds of sources, and these are all Masonic books I own in my possession. These are in my own library now. I use nothing but Masonic sources to prove that not only are they frontmen for the organization of the Illuminati, but their belief is based on the Luciferian doctrine itself.
And women are not allowed to study that. Is that correct?
No, that's not true. There is what's known as the Law of Salik. Now, the Law of Salik does allow for ladies to be Masons, and I listed quite a number of noted female Masons in the past also. That's not true. Most people don't know that, and I'd be willing to wonder how many Masons don't know that law either, but it is true. That law is still in effect.
Now, this is going to be an off-the-wall question. Does Scientology have anything to do with any of this?
No. The Illuminati is not interested in Scientology, and they really don't have to be, because the thing is, they do enough damage by themselves, and the Illuminati don't care, because when it's time, the Illuminati is just going to take care of them like anyone else who tries to say no to them. See, the sad fact is, the Illuminati have approximately, I'd say, 95% of all their plans fulfilled. It's just a matter of getting the last 5% in line, and that's it. Unless we wake up very quickly and educate ourselves into the truth of what's going on to where there's still enough time that we can make a difference, it's going to be over.
You were talking about the upper echelon, that they were the ones that were aware of what was taking place in the temples. Who are the upper echelons?
The upper echelon would consist of anyone who's a 30th degree Mason or above. So that would include 30th, 31st, 32nd, and 33rd degree Masons. Now, in a letter from Albert Pike to Giuseppe Manzini And if I can remember most of it, I may have to paraphrase it, but he wrote on who may know what's really going on. He said, that which we must say to the crowd is this, that we adore a God without superstition. And he went on to say that this God and their belief must be held in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. So he identifies immediately the God they worship is Lucifer. And he further goes on to write that you may repeat this to the 30th, 31st, 32nd, and the 33rd degree, that the purity of the Luciferian doctrine will be held by the Masons. Now, one thing I must emphasize, he did say may be allowed to know. Not everyone who's 30th degree and above does know.
That's what's going to be my next question.
He said may be allowed to know.
Is there any part of disclosure of what's really happening that can be opened up to our world? It might make people mad or whatever, but the fact is that how else can you do it on the edge of the cusp here where we are?
Well, historically speaking, there's been quite a number of prominent figures, statesmen, writers, and other people of such notoriety, including the California educational system, who have identified the problem in that this problem is under the auspices of the Illuminati. They have them. I mean, I can take you all the way back to George Washington himself, who identified and who feared that the Illuminati was getting a foothold in America. And I'm talking about George Washington. We're talking presidents of noted universities that were honest back then, such as Harvard and then eventually Yale. And then, as I said, we have writers. We have Sir Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England, during, you know, World War II, who identified the problem coming from the Order of the Illuminati. And none of these people said that the Illuminati had fallen away into the annals of history. No, they each wrote that the problem was around and existing in their day. The California Committee on Education in 1953 also wrote and identified the problem as being that of the Order of the Illuminati. It's not that we haven't been giving out the warnings, it's just people haven't been paying attention or listening. And before it's too late, people have got to start waking up.
Well, you just mentioned California, so do you think California's starting to wake up?
Well, I have a feeling that, you know, they got rid of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and hopefully he won't be back.
I don't think so.
You know? And, I mean, oh, my goodness, I feel so sorry for the state of California. The debt is horrific. I'm not even sure how they're going to get out of debt, fiscally speaking.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's sitting in his office and smoking his cigars.
You know, and, you got to figure. Him, like his wife, Maria Shriver, the reality is they don't have to care one way or the other. They've got tens of millions of dollars. So they're not going to worry about, you know, a collapse. The collapse is going to hit the normal people. And that's who they're looking to enslave.
You know, excuse me, Paula, I think we're on the cusp here of time.
And, well, let everybody know that we've been talking to Doc Marquis, and he's going to be at the conference. And you're actually speaking on Sunday, June 5th, at 5 to 6:30 p.m.
Yes, that's
just before the speaker debate, which is going to be really unusual. And I think the speaker debate will be interesting.
Yes. Now, one quick piece of information. If anyone would like to try to reach me through a phone number, they can get me at the office at 402-228-2000. I'm trying to remember the last four number. 9476. That's pathetic. I can't even remember my own phone number. It's
I'll repeat it again for you. 402-228-9476.
Correct.
And we thank you so much for being with us today. And we're
thanks for having me, ladies. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and your listening audience.
Well, and we invite the listening audience to go to the conference so they can find out even more. So we look forward to meeting you, and thank you so much for being with us today. It was very educational.
Thank you so very much, ladies.
You're welcome.